Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. During the coronavirus pandemic, we are worshiping exclusively online. This is a recording of our service. Thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome to Worship with Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are so grateful that you are joining us this morning. We will share prayer requests later on in today's service. To share your prayer requests, simply send us a Facebook message or comment on this live video, and those prayer requests will make it to me at that point in the service. Join us after the service today for a virtual coffee hour. See the link in the comments to this video and join us for coffee following the service. I will be on vacation this coming week. Calls to the church number will be forwarded to Carrie Christian's cell phone, so those calls will be answered or returned. And for any pastoral needs this week, please contact Reverend Marcy Campbell. Next Sunday, Rev. Marcy will be preaching. The service will include the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, so be prepared ahead of time with a small piece of bread and a small cup of juice or wine for each person worshiping with you. Next week's service will be pre-recorded rather than live, which means that the post may look different on your device. We will share prayer requests in the bulletin, although those prayer requests will not be named aloud during the service. You'll have time during the service to lift up those prayer requests as you read them in the bulletin. So we are grateful that you are with us. We are grateful that in all the places that we are gathering in God's presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Thank you. We come before God as beloved children. With the confidence of children of God, let us humbly confess our sin. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The computer on my end looks like you may not be able to see me at all right now. If you can see me, you're going to watch me see if I can address a connection issue here. It's not on your end. It seems to be on my end. We will see what we can do. So my regrets for the connection difficulties we are having. We've just gone through the prayer of confession, where we have acknowledged our need for God's grace and our brokenness. And then this assurance of pardon. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Forgiven and freed, we are beloved siblings, children of God. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Amen. For our show and tell this morning, we are continuing, actually finishing today, a series of scripture readings where Jesus teaches us about prayer. We began at the beginning of June with the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer, as we say it during worship, always ends by saying, "The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours," we say to God. This is God's kingdom we are praying for, not our own. So our show and tell today Our show and tell today is this little dog named Owen. To be honest, our show and tell today is just me showing off this adorable dog that we adopted about a week and a half ago. But watch this expert connection to make meaning of this adorable picture that is in front of you. Owen is an adult dog, but he was a stray. He is new at being in a family. And the way that he's working on being in a family is to be exceedingly submissive, usually in super adorable ways. As he becomes more confident, we expect that he may be a little bit less exceedingly submissive, but as he attaches to us, he's still laser focused on us all the time. That's a specialty of herding breeds. That's something that they do. But it's also just something that dogs do. Dog brains are just purpose-built for attachment. Their whole world is their people, which most of the time is quite a bit of fun, to be honest. Jesus is going to tell us a parable about prayer. And the point of the parable Jesus is going to teach us is that we are not the center of the world. That prayer is about putting God at the center of the world, recognizing that God is already at the center of the world. And so we prepare for our scripture reading. Will you pray with me? Speak to us, living God, as you have spoken to your people through the ages, through the voices of your prophets, the breath of your spirit, and the life of your Son, so that we may live according to your word, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The scripture reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
All who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Well, church, I've got good news, because church people, in my experience, tend not to exalt themselves out loud. They tend to hide when it's time to recognize and give thanks for the gifts that they offer. We need a sheepdog at Covenant to make sure that someone arrives to receive the Lamb Award. That sometimes makes it hard, actually, to talk about how God is at work in our lives, or to lift up the ways that we serve others outside of sanctioned church activities, where it's a whole lot easier to pass the credit to somebody else. You try to celebrate what God is doing in someone's life through what someone is offering to others, and they so often say something like, well, that's just how I was taught, that's how I was brought up, that's what I was supposed to do. Which may be true, but it's also a way that we can miss what God is doing in our lives. Maybe that comes from saying a prayer of confession every week. Maybe the internet was trying to challenge us on that this week when the connection went bad right during the prayer of confession. Jesus teaches us that there is spiritual power in remembering our brokenness. But that's bad news, isn't it? Because the moment I suggested that we don't exalt ourselves, I stopped telling us the truth. The moment that we think we are on the right track, we are off track again. That's the implication of the story that Jesus tells us today. It's this paradox that is built into any teaching on self-righteousness. The way that we can hear the parable that Jesus tells about this Pharisee who exalts himself and this tax collector who is so humble before God, and we find ourselves saying, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like that Pharisee comparing myself to other people. Oh, right. Presbyterians maybe don't compare ourselves to others on our moral status. We have more refined ways of exalting ourselves, like musical taste and social enlightenment. Well, the good news is that if we are more like the Pharisees than we thought, they are also more like Jesus than you may have known. The Gospels portray this group of the Pharisees as this consistently negative character. Remember that the stories that come to us in the Gospels arose during a family argument among adherents of the same religion, as they were trying to understand how to be faithful to God and what it meant, particularly in the case of the Christians, those who would become Christians, what it meant to follow Jesus, this Messiah, who had come among us but didn't fulfill the kingdom of God in quite the way that we were expecting him to. And so these stories magnify little differences between the way that Jesus thought and taught and the way that the Pharisees thought and taught. Jesus agreed with the Pharisees on a lot of theological points. The resurrection is one. The resurrection clearly set the Pharisees apart from some of the other Jewish groups during their time. Jesus and the other Pharisees had similar ideas about the kingdom of God and what it meant for God to reign among us. They had differences in the way that they thought about how a human community could become fit for God to live among us, to reign with us. The Pharisees looked at the laws that applied to the temple and said, maybe those laws need to apply to the whole people. The Pharisees and Jesus both agreed that the temple as it was established during the time that Jesus was on earth, that temple was not operating in the way that God had intended the temple to operate. And Jesus took that maybe one step further and said, if you look back at the history of the temple, you can see that God didn't really intend for there to be a singular temple in a fixed place at all. The Pharisees went a different direction and said, if God is to live among us, then maybe the people need to be the temple. Maybe the people need to adhere to the laws of the priesthood so that God can dwell among the people. Except for the way that that happens, that's not so different from what we understand to happen when the presence of God continues to dwell among us by the Holy Spirit. When we tell those stories of Jesus, who is the presence of God, living among us for those 33 or so years. So the Pharisees, a lot like Jesus, wanted to be people who could be worthy of the presence of God. And part of the way that they knew to be worthy of the presence of God was to follow the laws that God had set up in resistance to the Greek-influenced culture around them, which honestly sounds a lot like our Presbyterian concern for doing things right, getting things right. We know that our behavior matters. Our behavior matters even in the grand scheme of who God is and what God is up to in the world. But that's bad news, because our careful rules can also get completely off track when we focus not on managing ourselves, but on policing each other. When we act as though somebody else is somehow responsible for whether my spiritual life is acting the way it should, as if God cares about someone else being worse at this than I am. We make other people responsible for our spiritual life when we compare ourselves to somebody else, when we hide ourselves from what other people may know about us, when we take responsibility for someone else's brokenness or for someone else's happiness. Many of us are fairly high in status in this world as it is, and we tend to be most comfortable when we are the ones who are in control. And the irony is that when we focus on trying to control someone else, it actually feels like they are somehow in control of what we are able to do, and everything has to go just exactly right. That's the bad news about trying to get things right. That if everything depends on me, then suddenly I'm not in control. But the good news is, I'm not in control. The good news is that we have never been in control in the ways that we may imagine we need to be. The good news is that we are not the good news. Jesus is already the good news for us, and that is the good news. All who exalt themselves will be humbled. That's only bad news if we think everything depends on us getting everything right. But the good news is that Jesus doesn't wait for us to get it right. Jesus is already getting it right where we can't even see. And our invitation is simply to look for where Christ is already bringing the kingdom of God into this world. Well, I've got bad news. The kingdom of God is usually in the place that we would least expect to see it. Jesus is usually at work in the people we would least expect to see him working with. He's already at work in that tax collector who will give half of his wealth to the poor and repay four times everyone that he has extorted. Jesus is already at work in that activist that you finally bite the bullet and listen to until you realize that they actually make some sense. Jesus is already at work in that impoverished Salvadoran farmer who teaches faith with a moral clarity that I can never manage and a deep humility that I'm never strong enough to have. Jesus is already at work. The bad news is we are so chronically wrong that we have no choice but to learn from each other. Presbyterians are right about that as well. Because the good news is that God is always teaching and revealing the kingdom of God in the lives around us, and even sometimes in our own lives. And so we are set free. We are set free to see where God is at work in other people's lives. We are set free to look beyond ourselves to see and lift up the kingdom of God that is already breaking into the world around us and even through us. And the beauty is that the more we point to God at work in other people's lives, the more this world looks like God's kingdom. Amen. And we come now to prayer, remembering that Jesus told us, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." And so we lift up these joys and concerns. We lift up prayers for those who completed their work last night at the 224th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church. They were meeting all across the country electronically. And we continue to pray for Ilona Street Stewart and Gregory Bentley, who were elected as co-moderators of the 224th General Assembly. Ilona is the executive of the Synod of Lakes and Prairies. We lift prayers this morning for Jolisa Miles, who is a good friend of Deb Kellogg. Jolisa's husband, Sean, died Friday morning of a heart attack. We pray for Jolisa and for their three adult children. We continue to pray for Bernie Saylor, who remains hospitalized with pneumonia. We pray for Mark Klein, Pam Rees' cousin, who is recovering now from liver surgery. And we pray for medical staff everywhere who keep coming back to their job amid conflicting conversations about the pandemic and the status of the pandemic. We pray for medical personnel for encouragement, for dedication. We lift up these prayers and all the prayers that are with us in the life of the world. Your abiding place is so lovely, O Lord of hosts. Our souls want nothing more than to be close to you. Our hearts and our bodies rejoice in your living presence. You make space even for the sparrows and the swallows to build nests and raise their young. Make room for everyone to dwell in your presence, praising you with joy forever. Give strength to all people who seek you. Sustain and refresh all who journey. Give rain and sunlight for those who tend the land. In all things, lift up those who look for healing, for justice, and for peace. Make yourself especially known to these whom we lift up before you. Ilona, Gregory, Jolisa, Bernie, Mark, and all medical workers. Lord God of hosts, hear our prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, for we pray with Jesus Christ, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every generous act of giving is itself a gift from God above. We celebrate all the ways that you and the ministries of Covenant Presbyterian Church and our partners in the community around us contribute to the work of building up God's kingdom in the world. One of our mission partners is an Al-Anon group that, under ordinary circumstances, meets in our building every Thursday morning. Well, when we had to close the building due to the pandemic, our weekly Al-Anon group continued to meet by Zoom, continuing to support each other as family and friends of people who are dealing with alcoholism. So I got a phone call a couple of weeks ago from a woman named Bridget, who has joined our Al-Anon group not only despite the fact that they are meeting with via Zoom, but because they are meeting by Zoom. Bridget lives 3 hours from here and was able to connect with our Al-Anon group because they were meeting online. Bridget has found support, encouragement, and grace as she has worked to support her daughter, who has now graduated from a residential treatment program. And Bridget is able to have the support that she needs so that she can support her daughter because of this group that ordinarily would be meeting in our building. So this isn't even God at work through Covenant in a specific way. This is God at work through a group that we have a relationship with. We are hopeful that soon we will be able to welcome the Al-Anon group back into our building, and I'm hopeful that when they do regather in person, they will be able to continue meeting virtually as well in a hybrid format so that they can continue to care for each other and to care for those who have never even been to Covenant's building. We are so grateful for the ways that God is at work through our Al-Anon group and through all the many ministries and mission partners that your gifts support. Thank you so much for everything you contribute to God's work through Covenant. Will you pray with me? O God, our sun and shield, you don't withhold any good thing from your people. Let our gifts be part of your generous giving, so that all the world may put their trust in you, with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. A reminder to please join us for virtual coffee hour immediately following the benediction. There should be a link in the comments on this live video so that you can jump right over to coffee hour and share fellowship with us. Beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.